Turn with us, if you would, to John's Gospel, chapter number 19 today. John's Gospel, chapter number 19. Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord in our church this morning. It's so sad people try to go to church without the presence of the Lord. If God does not occupy the building, then it's just another building. We sure do need Him in our presence today. And what I've just opened to you this morning is very precious in His sight. For it is the Word of God. John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 16. Going to preach on a topic today that's very special in the heart of God. The Bible said, "Then delivered He Him," who? Jesus. "Therefore unto them to be crucified. They took Jesus and led Him away. He bearing His cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him and two other with Him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing of reverencing the Word of God. Father, we love You today. We thank You for this time together. Lord, as You put this in my heart last night, I pray that You let preaching be easy today. Dear God, I need You to help me preach. And I pray if it be one here lost today, that, oh God, You would put Your hand in their heart. God, You would draw them by Your grace. Help them today to realize they are a sinner and they are in need of a Savior. Help us today. Thank You for our church. Thank You for how good You've been to us. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask You. Amen. And amen. I want to preach today on this subject, at the cross, at the cross. Now notice here, at the cross, the Bible refers to Jesus being crucified. The Bible said that He bearing His cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. At the cross today, I want to remind us of a few things. First of all, there was an arrangement about the cross. I sure am glad that the cross did not take our God by surprise. As those Roman soldiers went to take Christ, they thought that it was a plan of their own. But the Bible teaches us that before the foundations of the world, God had a plan to reach those that realized that they were in need of a Savior. We see, as 1 Peter writes in our Bible, 1 Peter 1, number 20, there was an arrangement about this cross. He says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. By Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again." No, I like that right there. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I remind you today, before the mud seals of this old earth was formed, God had an arrangement that He would send His Son to Calvary's cross. We find in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, and verse number 4, as Paul is writing to this early church He had something to say about this arrangement. He said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Can I tell you, before this earth ever was started, God seen His church. I hear a lot of people talk about predestination. Let me tell you something, what the Bible teaches us. God had predestinated His church. God never predestined men, women, boys, or girls into heaven or hell. The Bible said that we must believe in Christ. Therefore, we are placed in the church. Therefore, being placed in Christ in the church, God has known us a long time. I'll remind you, God's never had to think of one thing. God knowed would you be saved. He knowed if I'd be saved. But He sent His Son that everybody could be saved. I'm glad there was a predetermined plan that God sent His Son into this whole world that we all could be saved this morning. My goodness, the Bible said that He paid a ransom for all. I'm glad the blood that Jesus poured out on Calvary. As the songwriter some said that He spilt His blood. Friend, there's a big difference in spilling and the pouring. I remember as a young child, when I'd go to the barn and get milk from Grandma, I'd come back in, if that bucket was a little bit low, she'd say, "Ken, what in the world happened to you?" I'd say, "Well, I spilt it." She'd say, "Well, honey, you better be careful next time." But if I said, "Grandmama, I poured it out. That was an intention on my part." Why, she'd have tore me up real good. What are you saying? There's a big difference in spilling and pouring. Jesus didn't spill His blood. He poured His blood that we could all go free this morning. Thank God for Calvary's cross. Now you'll notice this. At the cross, there was an arrangement about the cross. Then in Acts 2 and verse 22, watch this in your Bibles, there wasn't an agreement about the cross. Can I tell you, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Can I tell you that God had a plan, but His Son agreed with the plan. He said, "Father, I will go." That's an amazing thing to me that God thought it. The Holy Ghost brought it, but God the Son bought it. Amen. What are you saying today? I'm saying it's an amazing thing to me that there was an agreement made about this cross. Look what He says now, Acts 2:22. You're talking about a powerful verse. I love our Bible. He said, "You men of Israel, hear these words." And Jesus, Peter's preaching now. Aren't you glad that failure ain't final? Peter had denied the Lord. He'd said a few bad words like many of you said this week. I believe he even toted a good sharp-case pocket knife. Amen. He cut off Malchus's ear, but he wasn't swinging for his ear, Brother Joe. He is swinging for his head. But the grace of God intervened with old Peter. Peter found out about himself. It'd do you real good if you'd found out about yourself, that you're human, and we need God, and we all make mistakes, but thankful for the grace of God that failure ain't final this morning. So Peter, standing up, with 11, lifted up his voice. He said, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Here it is, talking about there was an agreement about the cross. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken Him by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it." What are you saying? In the predetermined counsels in glory, there God the Father and God the Son had a meeting in glory land world. And then when we find him in the early part of Luke's gospel, as Mary and Joseph had lost him in the temple, they went back, and you know what he said? He said, "Whence have you sought me? Do you knowest not that I must be about my Father's business?" I sure am glad that Jesus told the Father, "I'll go." Isn't that amazing thing that Christ gave His life for me and you? He that never knew sin became sin for us on an old rugged cross. God judged your sin and my sin upon His Son on a cross, that we may believe in Him and be declared justified in the scales of God. I sure am glad that this at the cross, there was an arrangement, there was an agreement. But did you know in Luke 9 there was an appearance? Do you know that on Mount Transfiguration, I didn't see this till a few years ago, but I'm going to show it to you. Luke chapter number 9. Some of you may have never seen this great truth in the Word of God. But in Luke chapter number 9, not only was there an arrangement about the cross and an agreement about the cross, but while Jesus was going to that cross, before He ever got there, there was an appearance made on this old world specifically about the cross. Now look what it says in Luke 9, chapter number 39. Or Luke 9, 29. Watch your Bibles now. The Bible simply says this. As He prayed on the Mount Transfiguration, many of you have heard of that story, His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elias, or Elijah. You say, "Preacher, I thought they were dead." No, if you know Christ by faith, you live forever. Watch this. "Who appeared in glory and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem." You see, there was an appearance about the cross. Can I tell you that heaven was interested in Calvary? There, as Moses and Elijah was with God in heaven. For the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our soul don't go out in some purgatory state. It don't slip off into some place, honey. If you die without God, hell will be your home. If you die in Christ, heaven will be your home. Moses and Elijah, they weren't dead. They was living with God. As God's Son went on Mount Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John that day, there was two heavenly visitors appeared with an appearance. They got to talking with Jesus, and look what they was talking about. The decease at Jerusalem. Can I tell you, heaven was interested in Calvary. This old world ain't interested in Calvary, but God's interested in Calvary. He sent two to appear. They was talking to Christ. I bet Moses might have said, he said, "Lord, I realize when I come off the mountain with the holy law, I seen what my people had done and I cast them down and I broke the law. And Lord, I've realized a long time that I myself, the one that wrote the law, could not keep the law, but I broke it. But I sure am glad that God had a plan. I'm glad God has sent you to an old rugged cross that He'd take my sin." And there was Elijah that called fire down from heaven. He'd went down to the White House and called out Jezebel and told her, said, "I tell you what I'm fixing to do. I'm fixing to turn the water off for 3 years." And he prayed and heaven shut up. He called fire down. Elijah had talked about one that was coming. So many miracles Elijah had seen. But I bet you when he talked to Christ that day, on this great appearance evening, he said, "Lord, I preached about you a lot, but I've never seen you like this." Said, "I want to tell you, heaven's been talking about you. The angels are standing at attention. All God's got to do is at His command, they'll come. Lord, all you'll have to do is call. There'll be 12 legions of angels come." But Christ said, "I'm going. I'm going all the way to Calvary to pay for your sin and my sin. And therefore, at the cross, I will remind you this morning, there was a road map mapped all the way out from the cradle all the way to Calvary, all the way to glory. Can I tell you that? Can I tell you there's a road map mapped out for you all the way from the cradle, all the way to Calvary, all the way to glory. Honey, I'm going to live forever one day. When the mortician puts me in that box, don't walk by and say, there he is. Don't dare come by and say, don't he look good? Amen. You say, glory to God. My preacher's in glory land world because they trusted the Son of God. They went to Calvary's cross and died for our sin. Lord, Lord, when I pile up, somebody say, make the coffee and get the donuts. But y'all remember this, honey. This is going to get a glorified body one day. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. No more heartache, no more sorrow, no more pain. We're going under the glory land world where Christ our King died for us. Paved the way into God's world. If you don't know His Son today, heaven won't be your home. Hell will be your home. I don't care what every liberal politician's preaching in this country. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. The Bible said you must be born again. There's one way to the gate. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. There are no other ways except by Calvary. I sure am glad the Bible said in Ephesians 2, we're saved by grace through faith. A man can't work his way in, he can't be baptized in, but he can have faith and get in this morning. And I sure am glad at the cross, there was an arrangement. There was an agreement. There was an appearance. But in Luke 22, there was an agony about the cross. Jesus prayed. The Bible said that He prayed in such a way that it's never described elsewhere in our Bible like it is in Luke 22. The Bible said in Luke 22, verse 39, there's the agony of the cross. He came out and went as He went to the Mount of Olives. The disciples followed Him. When He's at the place, He said, I pray that you enter not into temptation. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed. Can I tell you something? If Jesus prayed, don't you think we ought to spend some time praying? Saying, Father, if Thou will be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not will, my will, but Thine be done. There appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthened Him, and being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly. And His sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. When He rose up from prayer, He's come to His disciples and He found them sleeping for sorrow. Can I tell you that the cross was the most horrific death that any man could ever die? And I'm going to tell you something that I studied and didn't understand as a young preacher. No doubt Jesus was dreading the cross. No doubt Jesus was dreading these soldiers taking and nailing Him to those two pieces of wood. But I'm going to tell you what our Lord was in agony about. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. The Bible said, Brother Lee, for He hath made Himself to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You know, the reason Christ had great agony in the garden, yes, He was looking to the tortures of Calvary, but I'm going to tell you what weighted our Lord down was your sin and my sin. There was the spotless Lamb of God that had never known sin and never did sin. He never made a wrong decision. He never had a bad thought. He had never committed sin. But God took your sin and my sin, didn't put it in Him, put it upon Him. Do you hear me this morning? He was spotless. He was sinless. He had never sinned. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He was God-man. He was God manifested in the flesh. Hey, He unveiled His glory at the Mount Transfiguration and shined. The Bible said, white as no fuller's coat could white them. He had never known sin. But every sin I've ever been committed, was placed upon our Lord. Every bad thought me and you'd ever have was placed upon Him that had never known sin. Oh, our sins were heavy. Our sins were dirty. Our sins was rotten. But I sure am glad I read something in the Bible. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh my, this morning, at the cross. Can I tell you, there was an arrangement, there was an agreement, there was an appearance, and there was an agony. But in Luke 23:33, there was an arrival. Jesus just made it to the cross. The devil thought that he got our Lord now, that hedged in the cross, and what the devil didn't know was it was God's plan the whole time to send into the cross. Boy, aren't you glad we have a sovereign God that's over the affairs of His Son and over the affairs of His children. My goodness, there was an arrival at the cross. My most favorite passage about the cross is in Luke 23. Turn there. We're going to close from there this morning. Luke 23. Verse number 33. Look what the Bible says. The most favorite message that God's ever given me out of this right here, come out of 33. I preached it here one time. The Bible says, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. The malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. The first time it's ever mentioned, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There was an arrival at the cross. Matter of fact, the word Calvary is never mentioned it again in your Bible. I don't believe God ever wanted to mention it again. Because that's where He sent His Son, to take your sin and my sin, hang on a cross and pay the ultimate sacrifice. It's an amazing to me. The Bible says that this sacrifice appeased God. A God approved of sending His Son to die for me and you. Could I ask you something? This is a country preacher this morning. Why would you want to neglect Christ and not believe upon Him and repent of your sins and die and go to a devil's hell when He's paid the price for you? Can I say today that there was an arrival at the cross? Jesus went. But in Luke 23:39, there was an acknowledgement at the cross. The Bible said one of the malefactors, a thief. You say, well, I don't know why in the world them kind of people come to our church. You're them kind of people. You see, there's none good, no, not one. Those thieves. Jesus was right in the midst. Aren't you glad, as Brother Jerry said this morning, that aren't you glad that God still saves those sinners? This highfalutin religious crowd going to die and go to hell in their sin. You better realize that God's not the beggar. We're the beggar. We need the Savior. None good, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, is what the Bible says. But isn't it amazing when you believe in His Son, God declares righteousness to you for the Son's sake. Now, one of the malefactors that were hanged railed on and saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And look what he said in verse 42, his whole life's fixing to change. And he said unto Jesus, you see, it does matter in who you believe in. And he said unto Jesus, he didn't say unto Muhammad, he did not say unto Allah, but he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, not them, him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There was an acknowledgement at the cross. Can I tell you, you can make an acknowledgement at the cross today. You can say, Lord, I believe unto you and I submit my life unto you. God, I'll follow you and serve you. And I ask you to come and live in me and forgive me of all my sin. Isn't that an amazing thing? We can still make acknowledgments at the cross today. Then I use the parallel gospel because I wanted you to see this in John 19:28. There was an accomplishment at the cross. Miss Sherry, if you'd come this morning, I want Brother David. Could we sing that song this morning, Just As I Am, Brother David? John 19:28. There's something I want to say to the people, then I want to give an invitation this morning. John 19:28. The Bible said, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, He saith, I thirst. Isn't it amazing? The one that created the oceans, the streams, the rivers, the wells, cried and said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, put it to the mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, here it is. There was an accomplishment at the cross. Look what He said. It is finished. And He bowed His head, gave up the ghost. You see, He didn't say, I'm finished. It's finished. You know what He said, Ken Bowman? Because it's finished, you can believe and be saved this morning. Said Brother Mike Rollins, because it's finished, you can believe and be saved. Young man, because Jesus died for you, and He bowed His head and said, it is finished, now God will accept you by His Son. Because He paid the ultimate sacrifice for your sin and my sin. Lastly, this morning, before we sing this old song, there's acceptance at the cross. Ephesians 2:14, for He is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself a twain one new man, so making peace. That He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Other words, He broke the curtain down between Jew and Gentile. He came and preached peace to you which were far off and them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Stand with me this morning around the building. Brother David, what is your number today? Did you know you can come to Christ today and be gloriously born again by the grace of God if you'll put your faith and trust in Christ? You may be here this morning, you've wandered afar off. I can tell you there's reception at Calvary. Doesn't matter what you've done, ma'am. Sir, it don't matter what you've done or how long you've been doing it. There's forgiveness at Calvary. Young man, won't you come to Christ this morning? You won't have to lay down in fear no more of your eternity tonight when you go to bed. You won't have to wake up in the morning dreading your sin debt. You can come to Christ by faith. If you'd come, we'll pray with you at an old-fashioned altar. Ma'am, you can be saved this morning. But you'll have to come by faith and accept Christ, what He's done for you on the cross. While we sing, would you come this morning?